2025.
Hey.
We're here. We made it. We did it.
Guess who's back? Back again. Happy New Year. How are you feeling?
Yes, Happy New Year. I am feeling already overwhelmed.
Wow.
But I am trying to stay off of TikTok, so that is helping minimize the overwhelmingness.
Well, child, the TikTok ban is it looks like it's really happening, so, you know?
Yeah. Well, I saw something that said it's just leaving the app store, so it's not like we won't be able to, like, scroll through it. It's just
I heard that, update. Too, but I don't know. I don't know.
I won't delete the app just in case they're like, psych, we're bringing it back. But
I think it's pretty much a done deal at this point.
Right. But I mean, the other overwhelmingness is just January birthdays after Christmas, man.
Listen, yes. So if you guys didn't know,
three of the four
Moms in the Trenches children have January birthdays, y'all. We are it's wild.
Yeah. So by the time this airs, well, we already had the birthday party, but the birthday boy will be 5, which is crazy. I'm waiting to see that Imagination Library book come in the mail.
Oh, the one that's like Welcome to Kindergarten or whatever?
Yes. Carolina got a book the other day, but I thought it was Zion's because it's closer. Like, usually they send it around the birthday, like the date.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like January, I don't know, 2nd, something like that. I'm like, there's a book in here, it's Zion's. But then I remember they never sent one in December.
Oh, okay.
For Carolina.
Yeah, they send out I think the last book is the kindergarten one where it's like it getting is. Ready for kindergarten. I know. So
I'm going to sob.
Both of us will be receiving that book this month. And if you don't know what Imagination Library is.
And you're from the South.
I don't know what to tell you. But no, listen, Dolly Parton has Imagination Library. So basically every kid that signs up, you can sign up from a lot of other states. And basically you get a book once a month. But yeah, you sign up, you get a book once a month. Auntie Dolly sends a book once a month until your kid reaches 5, which is a milestone birthday, because then they go to kindergarten. And the last book that they get, it's called either Welcome to Kindergarten or Getting Ready for Kindergarten. It's something like that.
Yeah, something with kindergarten.
And,
but the cool thing is the books are age appropriate.
Yeah.
So like when they're babies, it's like black and white and like shapes
not
and
a
like,
lot of
just,
storytelling.
You know,
yeah. So they grow with them. So if you want to check that out, it's called the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. But yeah, it's only until they're 5 and then they go to kindergarten and then.
And I'm like, to me, this happened way too fast. I wasn't expecting.
I know.
Like,
I feel like I just brought him home. Like, it's crazy.
Well, sometimes I look at Zion because the house that we're in, we moved in when he was 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you learn to crawl in this house. You learn to walk in this house, and now you're turning 5, and like, I don't know. It's just insane to me that
this is we are not okay, you guys. Like I said, 3 birthdays in January, we are not okay.
But yeah, that segues into how are you? How are you feeling? How was the like New Year? Everything?
Child, I'm good. Both my kids have January birthdays, and because they're weeks apart, I just do one party until they're old enough and they're like, hey, I don't want to hang out with AJ's weird friends. You know what I'm saying? For now, it's just one birthday party. So that's good. We're in our Minion era, so it's Minion everything. Arya just turned 3. And that's wild to me.
Yeah.
And AJ will be 5 at the end.
Those are big ages.
I know. And I'm not okay. Like, I'm not.
I mean, Carolina's having a hard time because she's like, every day, she's like, guess what? my birthday's coming up. I'm going to be three. I know. I'm like, please stop. Because how is it my baby? Like, my it, Shayla. It really... My Shayla. How is it my Shayla it really, is about to be
it,
three?
It really is the fact that it's like your baby, like the yes. you know, the last baby we'll probably have. And she's already right. three. Like, what?
Ugh. It's just so insane to me. But other than that, how are you feeling? Like,
child, you good? I'm good. Listen, I'm doing, you guys, I don't have a problem. Let me preface that. I don't think I have a problem, but I did decide to do dry January, and holy moly, I forgot about.
You picked a month.
I did pick a month, and like I forgot that like inauguration is happening, and which we're not thrilled about, but we're getting yeah. through it. You know,
we're gonna work through this. We're gonna get through this. You know,
we gonna be all right.
Exactly. We gonna be all right. It's that it's the headlines, like literally January 1st hit and it was just one thing after another.
It's been
rough mentally to like even go on social media because you just see all these tragedies and my heart goes out to everybody experiencing loss. Or survivors of these attacks. Yeah. It's just, it's insane. Especially because New Orleans holds such a special place in me and Dakota's heart. Mm-hmm. Like, we were just talking about going back. And, you know, this is just, it's so tragic.
I know. It hurts. It definitely puts things in perspective. Like, you know, like, you made the right decision by staying home. But also, you don't want to live in fear. So it's like...
Yeah. And that's my thing. I really do... Like, I told my mom after, I was like, we're just going to stay in our bubble. So I have a friend who listens to an astrologist, and I'm not into astrology or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But she has predicted some things. She kind of predicted Luigi Mangione, just saying.
Oh,
And then
oh,
she also predicted.
It's like that.
Yeah. And she predicted, like, she was like, the turn of the new year, there might be, like, vehicular, like, problems about someone driving in a crowd, and then you know that happened. So I'm
interesting.
Not into astrology mm-hmm. like I you know, but we've been going back and forth, and I don't know, it's just solidified that, you know, to protect my family mm-hmm. we're just gonna avoid, I don't like crowds anyways, but like we're just gonna avoid crowded spaces,
yeah,
err on the side of caution because people yeah. are crazy. And just focus on our little family. That's what we're going to do.
All 2025. All.
I mean, all of it.
All of it. Yeah. Okay. So today's episode, we're going to keep it lighthearted because we are in the yep. trenches of, listen, my tree is still up. Don't judge me. Okay.
Oh, I took that down. January 2nd, I was like, everything's got to go. I know you wait for Three Kings Day, yeah. which is today.
Yeah.
The day that we're recording. But like, yeah. after that.
it needs to come this weekend. It needs to. It's also, like, I'm just, I get, like, my seasonal depression really hits me when yeah. there's no Christmas tree in my living room. Because then it's just cold.
Really?
Yeah, because then it's just cold and depressing. Like, at least if it's cold yeah. and it's the holidays, I'm like, oh, it's the holidays. But once the holidays are over.
That's literally, I was telling one of my friends this. Okay, so I said, I can accept the cold until Christmas. After Christmas,
it doesn't make no sense.
It doesn't need to be winter anymore. No. I'm done, which is crazy because it's technically winter, like, 2 or 3 days before Christmas.
I know, happens. For real.
But my thought process is, okay, Christmas is over. Like, we can start, like, the flowers can bloom. We can
that's
start
what I was.
Outside.
That's what I'm saying. Like, after the holidays, after the new year, it's like, okay, I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for baseball. I'm ready for
all of this to be over. Zion's already signed up. Like, they literally, it was before Christmas, I think, they sent, like, the signups for baseball and was like, it ends, like, February or something. I'm like, thank God it's coming up.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
at least we'll have something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm over this. Now it's just, like, sad and cold and yeah. depressing. And it's not even, like, we live in the South, so we don't really get snow. So it's, like, just yeah. a lot of rain and a lot of cold and blah.
Yeah, and we got a dusting. That's what we got.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so today's episode, we're going to be talking about kind of keeping in theme with the new year, the resolutions, goals. What's another word for it? Goals, not manifestations, but
our visions.
Like visions and
vision board.
Yes, objectives, things that we want to accomplish in the new year. Child, I'll have you know I worked out today, and it was quite embarrassing. I'm not gonna lie, but I'm gonna stick with it. Like I'm gonna stick with it. It's gonna be hot mom summer one way or the other. Period.
It absolutely will. I get my hair done next week.
Ooh, so I get my hair done. I get my hair done at the end of this month. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so it's like it's gonna be hot mom everything. And I told Dakota earlier, I was like, a specific day out this week is gonna be my workout day, because it's the only that day part. I don't have a meeting or anything. Like I can literally drop the kids off and then go work out and then come home and work.
So you like what kind of workout girly are you? Are you the kind that's like, do you like to go with your spouse? Do you like to hit up one of your other girlfriends? Do you like to go by yourself? My gosh.
I like to do things myself just because.
Why am I not surprised by that answer?
Well, you know, I'm very introverted. I think it's just because I get in my head a lot if I'm with somebody else. Like if I see them doing something and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, should I be like, it's just, I overthink it too much. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm by myself or if I look up workouts before to do and I have a plan, then I can go to the gym and just focus on that. But like,
so you don't work out from home?
I used to. It's just not as fun as going to a gym. I feel like a gym just gives me more confidence, I guess.
I get that.
But yeah, I used to. I actually, this was when I was right before I was pregnant with Zion. I did yoga all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I would literally wake up, do yoga, come home, do yoga. And I like my core was great. And I keep saying I'm going to go back to doing yoga, but I need a new mat. So once I get I'm doing yoga.
Yes, we should definitely hit up hot yoga because that's intense. I love that. I love hot yoga. That's awesome.
I haven't done hot yoga.
So do you dress in like pretty like workout clothes? Are you one of those girlies or are you just like sweats?
So I used to. Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those girlies until I had kids. And then the ones that I did have that were really cute pre-kids, they don't fit anymore. They don't fit,
yeah.
And then they're just expensive. And I'm like, well, I don't want to buy them in this size and then try to work out to like go down a size or two. Because now I'm going to have all these cute, expensive workout clothes. Right now, I just have, like...
It's a problem.
Just, like... Yeah. Like, right now, I just have regular athletic leggings, and then I'll just wear a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't like to go in sweats. I feel like I get too hot in sweats. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just... That's me.
Well, that's a good transition into... our topic for today, which is, I feel like this was a long intro. I'm sorry, future Michaela. I'm sorry for your editing. That's a good transition into our topic of the day, which is getting your pink back. Mick, do you want to elaborate on what we mean when we say getting our pink back?
Okay, so according to Google, parents can't stop talking about getting their pink back. but basically it's reclaiming their identity. And I feel like, didn't this come because flamingos, once they have kids, they kind of lose their color. And then after a while they get their pink back.
Yes. So I learned about this from TikTok, this TikTok creator called Lindsay Girk, right? Girk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and she has a whole clothing line that's called Get Your Pink Back. So basically it's a fun fact about flamingos. Once they become parents, because of all the stress and, the emotional and physical, stress that comes with, you know, caring for your offspring, Yeah. They lose the pink tint to their feathers. It's
which I think is just so such a like a visual representation.
Exactly, right? Like, God is so intentional. But yeah, so eventually, though, as they kind of settle into their routine with their baby flamencos and whatnot, they get their pink back. So if you ever see any flamingos that are like whitish or like very, very light pink, they're probably in the trenches of parenthood.
Yeah, probably. And it also says, like, this is, like I said, reclaiming their identity. But parents are also starting to feel more like their old self after welcoming a baby. And
yes,
just also postpartum can last up to 7 years. So
that part,
when we talk about this stuff, don't think that it has to be like soon after you have a baby. Cause this stuff takes time.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to talk about, obviously this is very important to us because we're parents and because we're moms. Obviously parenthood is different when you're the one that was pregnant, that gave birth, that went through all those physical changes. But it's something really important to us, especially in the new year. Mick and I both have, resolutions and goals that, you know, are focused more on us as individuals. I say it all the time. I stress it to people all the time that you are not just a parent. You are not just somebody's mom. You are not just somebody's wife.
Amen.
You are a person with your own hobbies and your own interests. And you should honor that, right? And it's not about being selfish, right? Because I believe when, you know, when you're a parent, you can't, like, there's no room for selfishness anymore. But you do, the happiness, especially the happiness of the mother, does contribute a lot to the lifelong effects of children and how well adjusted they are. I mean, it's, and I read a study that said it was almost more important than growing up in a two-parent household.
Yes, I did see that before.
Yeah, so, and obviously this is verifiable, you guys. I would never steer you guys wrong. But it's important because, you know, you can't pour out of an empty cup, right? And when you're happy and you're joyful, that transcends to your family life, that transcends to your kids and how they feel about themselves, right? And especially as a mom, obviously my son is super important, but as a mom to a daughter, I definitely want to instill that in my daughter and for her to grow up and see and remember that, you know, my mom wasn't always in, you know, pristine condition, right? Because we're out here looking rough a lot of the times. But,
all the time. Adam Sandler era.
But my mom took care of herself and poured into herself, and she didn't lose herself in motherhood. And that's something that takes intentionality, and it's something that takes practice, right? And it's not something that you reach like this mountaintop and you're like, okay, everything is perfectly balanced and, like, you know, in order in our little ecosystem, right? Like, the kids are constantly growing up. We're constantly going through phases and stages and seasons. And so to be able, it does require a certain level of adaptability that for some of us doesn't come naturally.
Right.
Some of us have to work at it. And so it's important to, if you're a parent, mom, dad, default parent, non-default parent, whether you're a biological parent, a foster parent, whatever journey you're on in your parenthood era, that, you know, you pour into yourself a little bit, right?
Yeah,
as much as you can, and make yourself a priority, right? Mick, what are some other ways you are, I guess, planning on getting your pink back? Talk to us a little bit about your, because I know you and I have very different we came into motherhood in very different mentalities, right? We've talked about this before, how I was more of like, I'm not going to be a parent. I'm not going to be a mom. I don't want to be pregnant. Like, that seems ghetto. And it is very much so. But you were the opposite, where you did, you know that at some point you were going to be a parent, and that was something, and you had nieces and nephews and that sort of thing. So talk to us a little bit more about like your take on getting your pink back and how you plan on doing that.
Yeah. So part of it we talked about in our Christmas New Year's resolution episode. I said I was going to start therapy. And I have looked into some of the people that are in network for me. So I have to call and make sure I get everything scheduled. But I have started that journey. So that's one of the things that I really want to do, because I do find myself just getting angry, annoyed. And the one thing, Zion is emotionally intelligent. However, Carolina is just on another level. Like, she is just, I could be focused on something on my phone and she'd be like, Mom, why are you making that face? And, or she'll like, be like, are you mad at me? Aww. Or are you mad, Mom? And I'm like, no, I'm not mad. Or if I say I am mad, she's like, I don't want you to be mad. I want you to be happy. And so I've noticed a lot of those things with her. So I just want to make sure that I'm right mentally, and that if there's something that's wrong with me and I have a problem that doesn't have anything to do with anybody around me, like, I don't want that to, I don't want them to feel that. And one thing that my mom said that has always stuck with me since I was younger was, when I'm upset, she was like, everybody in the room can feel it. I don't want, especially my kids, like, of course I don't want Dakota to feel it. He might be the culprit, but still. I don't want especially my kids to feel that. I always see like the quotes that are like, oh, you know, I never want my like child to feel like, oh crap, I'm in trouble. I don't want my mom to find out. I want them to be like, oh crap, let me call my mom. Like, I want to be that person that, for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so therapy, I feel like, well, is a good start for me to like get those tools to be able to manage and maintain really healthy relationships with everybody in my life, you know? Everybody that I'm close with. And another thing is just self-image. Now, I don't know if I'm gonna give this up. When I'm at home, I like my sweatpants, okay?
Period.
But, right. But when I go out, I do want to carry myself better. Like, I do my makeup a little bit more now. And one thing that I have been very good about lately is not criticizing my self-image in front of my kids. I might whisper it to Dakota.
That's a hard one.
It's really hard because, like, we'll take a picture and I'm like, this is not, you know, like, I'm not happy. Like, even today I went to Dakota, I was like, am I big? And he's like, no, you're perfect. He's like, you're scrumptious. How about that? I'm like, you know, but for me, this is the biggest I've ever been in my life. And so, and I've always felt like, man, I can't lose this weight. And so I want to, if I don't lose the weight, because I am still healthy, I just want to have a healthier lifestyle. And pretty much 2025, no matter where I'm at in my weight journey, just be proud of who I am and accepting of who I am. So those are the things that I'm working on to get my pink back.
Love that. Love that for you. Yeah. Oh, it is interesting how like the boys are so different from the girls when it comes to being more in tune. It's almost like we're just wired, like us as girls, we're wired to just be more aware and like empathetic, I guess, if you will. So I feel you though, because Aria's not like as vocal about it, but she is definitely the child that like she's perfect in every way and I adore her, but she's definitely the one that's, you know, she's gonna call me out and I can see myself being her like inner voice, you know, when she gets, and I don't want her inner voice to be self-deprecating all the time, you know?
Exactly. Because Caroline is already so shy. Mm-hmm. Like, Caroline is just shy. She doesn't like, I mean, I said this before and people were like, nobody likes shame. But I'm like, she literally, like, if she does something and we're like, hey, stop, don't do that, and it's in front of people, she will run and bury her face in her hands and in my lap. Like, she really just, she does not like that at all. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, I want to make sure that I'm not adding to any of that. Like, I want her to gain confidence, and that's why I'm hoping dance helps.
Yeah.
You know, being on stage. And I do remember Miss Tina Knowles once said that Beyonce was very shy, very introverted when she was little, but when she got on that stage, she turned it on. And look at Queen Bee now. So,
that part.
I'm hoping that, like, I can be that Tina Knowles inner voice for Carolina, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, be like her biggest cheerleader. Yeah.
And
you never really realize until you become a parent how a lot of the things that you hear your parents say about themselves affects you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, even when I'm putting my makeup on, my mom used to be like, oh, well, I want to look pretty. I don't say that to Aria. I say, oh, well, I'm putting makeup on because I want to look fancy. Because you're always pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it might not be that big of a deal to some people. And, you know, no shade. If you use that language, that's, you know, fine. Do what you do.
Right.
But I started doing that because then I want her to have a healthy relationship with the way she looks as is.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if I put my lashes on, like, she knows I'm putting my lashes on, but, you know, it's just because I want to feel fancy. Like, not, you know, I want to look pretty. I want to look presentable. Like, I try to stay away from a lot of that vocabulary, because even though it seems harmless, and a lot of times it, you know, might not be anything to me, it affected my self-esteem growing up.
And
I don't want that, you know, for her. I want her to have that confidence and to know that she is that girl from a very young age. You know, so it might come back and bite me in the butt when she's a teenager, right? Like, for her birthday, we went to get manicures, and I could already, like, see myself, like, wow, she's definitely going to have these expectations as she gets older.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because we can afford it, amen? And
that's what's funny about being a parent right now. It's like, oh, I do have Chick-fil-A money. Let's go.
Exactly. Also, I'm trying to set the standard, right? So I don't want her to, you know, end up with somebody who tries to, like, dim her light, you know, or tries
right.
to
yeah.
be like, oh, well, you know, you don't need to get your nails done. You don't need to get your brows done, or whatever she gravitates to as far as, like, her self-image and her self-care. It's like, no, I absolutely do. And I can be high maintenance because I'm the one that's maintaining it. So.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I feel like I lost with motherhood was before and a little. Well, no, not after Zion because COVID. But definitely while I was pregnant with him and before I was even pregnant, I was getting my nails done every 2 weeks religiously, like hair estate done, makeup, like full makeup, which I can't do full makeup anymore. It's just too cakey on my face.
I know.
But
same.
But, like, I had a style. I had those things that I was like, oh, I'm doing this. And then that's one thing that I do feel like COVID kind of took away from me, because now I do have a fear of going and getting my nails done, like, religiously.
Yeah.
Because I've even thought, like, oh, I'll get back into it. But then, first off, them prices now.
That part.
They're a lot different.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, that's another thing that, like, I feel like kind of took some of my color. It wasn't just having kids. It was going through a whole pandemic. And
yeah, for sure.
Being, like, at home all the time, where it's like, well, what's the point in going to get my nails done?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Putting my life and my family's life in jeopardy.
Yeah. I feel you totally, completely. Like, and it was also a point that was like, you know, you started to get depressed. And it's a cycle, right? So if you don't look good, you don't feel good about yourself, then you're sad, but then you're and then that sadness makes you like not have the energy to put in the effort to make yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a vicious cycle that sucks. And it's so hard to break out of. So I'm proud of you though for wanting to pour more into yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge thing. So what are yours? Because we went over mine. What are yours? What's your how are you getting your pink back?
I'm almost there. I don't think I'll ever be the person that I was before becoming a parent. That's just not, in my eyes, it's just not possible, right?
It's unrealistic.
It is unrealistic. I used to be, you know, more carefree and more like go with the flow, and that person is just it's almost like a part of you has to mourn that old Yami is gone. Like she's not
okay.
A lot of
Let's put a pin in this because I have to come back to this point.
Oh. My bad.
About mourning. But yes. No, you're good.
Okay. Well, I felt in a way, it feels in a way like, yeah, depressing because, you know, you remember yourself, what you used to, the things that used to interest you, the things that you used to have time for, and, you know, your social life, if you had one. And and so a little part of you, it's totally normal for a little part of you to kind of mourn the person that you used to be. Like, I used to have so much energy. I used to, you know, go out, which obviously those things aren't a priority to me anymore. So it's not like I really, I don't miss a lot of the things that I used to do on a daily basis. I just miss the person that was like that full of energy and that full of like, you know, and the things that I used to stress about seem stupid now. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, you know, having a person's, you know, two people's childhood in your hands, that's a lot of responsibility. That can feel very, very heavy when you sit and really ponder on it, you know. You can start worrying about things and making up case scenarios in your head, and you know, like
those intrusive thoughts
exactly
take over
for real. and it's hard to, you know, get yourself back to neutral of like, hey, he just turned 5, right? He just turned 5. Yeah. Like let's not worry about that right now.
Like let's be present, please.
Exactly. Let's be present. And it, to me, that's where my husband, you know, he kind of grounds me in a way. Like he's the one that's like, hey, eyes on me. Like stay with me now. Because I can listen, I can make up whole movies with like alternate endings. Like and I can really, and a lot of times, especially when you're the default parent, a lot of times, you know, you lay in your bed at night and you're like, wow, I really did that, or I really lost my temper there, or I yelled, or like the other day I was like, man, I've been yelling all day. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be the mom that yells, you know? So obviously giving yourself grace because not every day is going to be Insta-worthy, right? But it's getting my pink back has been, to me, kind of like a slow burn. Like, it's been, and I try to do things, that's why I'm so passionate about, like, my self-care, about my my appearance, about, you know, if I don't have, and pivoting, right? So, like, I started getting more protective styles in my hair, for example, after I became a mom. I never used to get braids and stuff. But now it's like, it's easy. And I don't have to worry about it. And it's almost like an investment because for like 2 months, I don't got to worry about it. Like, you know, so pivoting, right? And learning how to adapt to, okay, well, I want to look good, but I also don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. because I need my sleep, right? So what can I do so that, especially, and I don't think I'm high maintenance, right? I think I do certain things that might look high maintenance, but really I'm just trying to make the most out of my time. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I've never been the kind of girl that's like, I'm going to wake up extra early and do my hair. No, that's not me. I'm sorry. just like I'm not going to wake up extra early to be up before the sunrise and get a workout in and then get a shower. And then I'm not. In another,
I tried that life and it was actually draining.
Exactly. Like in another universe, maybe, but not in this lifetime. So I do certain things like tint my eyebrows so that I don't have to fill them in every morning, because that's annoying and time consuming.
Yeah.
And I'll do my eyelash extensions. And that way it's like one less step I have to do in my makeup routine. And, you know, little things like that, that, you know, it makes me feel good about myself. So, and it adds value to my life. And when you look good, you feel good. And
yeah,
even though some days I'm like, whatever, I'm not doing this. I know that's not what makes me worthy, right? But yeah. It's something that I like. It's something that I enjoy, you know, keeping a certain level of, like, presentability. Like, whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. right? Because that's subjective to everybody. Like, But doing certain things like that to, like I said, shorten my morning routine as much as possible. I mean, listen, a lot of mornings I'll take my makeup bag and just do my makeup in my office at work. Because,
hey, listen, that's cool.
sometimes I ain't got the time. Sometimes I'm running, you know.
Yeah.
I like my sleep. It is what it is. So that's a way that I've slowly started to get my pink back, take more pride in my appearance. I've been leaning more into my feminine energy in the last like year or so. Mm-hmm. Femininity, biblical femininity, has been something that's that I've taken a particular interest to. So I've gotten rid of a lot of clothing items and a lot of things that, not gotten rid, I've donated, but or like repurpose certain things that don't align with how I want to be perceived. And also I'm a mom now, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, adjusting. Like, listen, if you whatever you want to wear, whatever makes you happy, boo boo. If you like it, I love it. But I'm a mom now, so I want to be. Obviously, I want to feel comfortable. I don't want things that are really nice because, you know, accidents happen.
Right.
But also, I don't think like looking like a mom is a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. I remember a few months ago, my little sister was like, you dress like such a mom, because my sister was looking. I think there was a particular black dress or something that my sister was looking for. And my sister went into my closet and was like, you dress like such a mom. And I'm like, yeah.
Because I am.
Like, I know they didn't mean it like in a bad way. And I didn't take it in a bad way. I was just like, yeah, like this is what I'm into these days. Like, if I need to show out, I'll show out. But I don't need to. Like,
we'll cross that bridge if it even shows up.
Yeah, like, so. I'm not, you know, that's just not my life anymore. Like, I, you know, so there was a lot of like going out clothes and stuff that I was just like, I don't do these things anymore. I don't, you know what I'm saying? And it like I said, a little part of you is like, oh, man, like, I remember when I used to hit up the bars or go to this place or go to that place, and I had the energy for it, and I would pregame, and then I would be in. Now it's like, it's 9:30, man. We got to wrap this up. Like, I'm ready.
No, it's 7 p.m. Friday. It's 95 degrees.
Basically, like, it's like,
and I ain't going out. I'm staying home.
Exactly. And also, when you're a wife and you're, you know, happily married like us, that insecurity kind of sometimes gets into your marriage. I don't know how it is with you, but sometimes it's like,
no, I understand that.
Sometimes I'll look at Alex and I'm like, man, like the person that the people we were when we fell in love, when we were 21 and 22, like,
yeah,
we're not those same people. Like, I mean, we still have the same, you know, we're still the same at our core, but like our values are different. Our, the things we enjoy are different. And it's like, sometimes I've gotten insecure. It's like, oh man, does he still think I'm fun? Does he still, you know, and it sucks. And I'm sure that happens to dads as well. You know, they might not be as vocal about it, but, you know, you sometimes when you lose yourself in parenthood, you can also lose yourself as a wife or as a girlfriend or as a partner. And so it's important when we're talking about getting our pink back to not only focus on our physical appearance or, you know, pour into us that way, but also looking at, you know, we are somebody's spouse. We are somebody's like girl. So we need to hold space for that, right? We want to, as parents, we need to make the conscious effort to not be in mommy daddy mode, because we're still a couple. Like, we're still a couple that used to have fun. We had a lot of fun. And now fun looks different. That's why
my mom is always stressed. Like, my mom was always stressed. Like, you guys need to go on dates. You need to do this. Like, you guys need to keep that up. And
it's hard.
Date inside. Like, we usually don't go out. Mm-hmm. But, like, we'll be like, oh, let's watch this movie together. Let's get this food together. Not as much recently, just because things have been chaotic. But those are the things that help maintain the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to remember.
And I want to do a lot more of that. I want to do a lot more of that this year.
Yeah, because you also need to get your pink back as a couple, right? As mm-hmm. you know, and get your pink back, like, sometimes, and you know this, your friendships suffer because you're indifferent, even though you might have friends that are parents, we're in different stages, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like pouring back into those relationships is how... First, you can, you know, it feels good, right? But also, that's how you build that village, right? That's how you build that community and upkeep that community. Like, nobody wants to be friends with the person that you only hear from them when you need something. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes,
That's one way to piss me off.
Exactly. And sometimes unintentionally, we end up doing that, right? We end up, mm-hmm. you know, unintentionally, you know, alienating ourselves or diving so deep into...
Because we're just so busy with life. Exactly. Like, I try to apologize to my friends and check in on them, especially the ones that moved out of state, mm-hmm. because it's like...
Yeah.
I don't want them to only hear from me on birthdays or, you know, like, just something random. You know, I want them to know, like, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm just not that great at communicating it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it happens so much where sometimes, you know, we can be texting, and this is true life, y'all. Like, I can be texting Michaela at 10:30, and then at 10:40, I'm out like a light. And then I don't respond to the text until 6 a.m. the next day.
That was me texting my hair girl last night. Last night, we were going back and forth, and I was like, what about this style? What about this style? And I was like, well, what are some other styles that's not braids? Because I want to do something different. She sent a list, and I looked at it, and I was like, I'm going to sleep. I looked at it, and I was like,
right?
I'm
but when you work. When you do that and you make it a habit, right, then sometimes that doesn't translate well to some people. And that's why sometimes you end up, like, only having two friends and, you know, mm-hmm. coordinating schedules to try to get together around the kids' schedule and stuff like that. So getting your pink back also translates to your personal relationships, your romantic relationships, your relationships with other, you know, with other family members that you're close to. You know what I'm saying? Like, holding space for that. Obviously giving yourself grace, but definitely making those things and those people a priority. And also, but you want your kids to see that, like, my mom has friends. My mom has a life, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many times we've seen where we had a friend or somebody that, like, knew that once they moved out, their parents were just, they were worried about them because they were like, wow, like, I don't know what my parents are going to do. Or I feel bad for going to school out of state. Like, what about my mom? What about my dad? And I don't want my kids to feel like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my kids don't owe me
anything. I never want them to have that burden.
Exactly. Like,
oh, I'm the reason why my mom and dad have fun. I'm the reason why exactly. they get out.
Yeah.
Because they would go to my football games or cheerleading, yeah. whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah. And yeah, it's
I,
not,
I completely understand
I think
that.
It's healthy for them to see that, right, to a certain degree, and, mm-hmm. and see that, like, my parents are going to be fine. Like, they're people. They have interests. They have hobbies. I mean, a lot of our parents didn't have hobbies growing up. Like, yeah. really, like, when you really think about it, you know, or a lot of,
no, that's so
you
true.
Know, a lot of our parents didn't have, you know, friends that they would, you know, do stuff with, like, other than play dates. You know what I'm saying?
And especially our parents, because our parents were single moms.
Exactly. Like, so we never
well,
saw
my mom
that.
Was married, but it don't count.
Yeah. No, we never. Exactly. We never saw that. And it's almost like, and like I said, my kids don't owe me anything. I don't. I never want mm-hmm. them to feel like they owe me something. I chose to have them, and I chose to, you know, I chose this life, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's healthy for them to see that, like, mom's not just my mom. Mom has a life. Mom, you
yeah,
know,
I mean,
likes
even,
to go out
even
and
when
do stuff.
We went out when you and I were meeting at Chili's that one night. Zion was like, "Mom, where are you going?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to Chili's. Like, I'm going out." And he was like, "Oh, you're going with Yami?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Aww.
And he was like, "Oh, I want to go." And I'm like,
"I know."
No,
AJ hit me with the AJ hit me with the same thing. I was like, "I'm going to see Auntie Michaela. Can I come?" I was like, "No, you gonna stay here with Dada. I'll be back. I promise, I'll be back."
Yeah. Peace.
Like, it's important, and I think it's mm-hmm. it's healthy for them to see that, right? And
yeah.
It makes and I feel like it helps also with their own independence, right? Because we yeah. want them to develop those skills within themselves, right? And
yeah.
they're, what better example than you, you know, as the parent?
Right.
What better example right. to set for your kids that, you know, you don't have to be enthralled in, you know, and it's hard, especially at the beginning. Like, listen, when you're breastfeeding, when you're pumping, you can't go very far.
Oh my gosh. Like, you can't do anything.
Those are
I'm not going to say you can't do anything, but it's
those
it's
are the harder. Trenches. Like, when I stopped,
yeah.
when I stopped breastfeeding and I could go more than 30 miles from my children.
Yes.
That was delightful, right? And then a part of you obviously misses that stage, and then you feel bad because you're like, "Oh, mm-hmm. I wish I would have taken more pictures, or I wish yeah. I would have, you know, done it longer, or I wish I would have savored it more." That's life. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
Listen, you can look back at the last year and be like, "Man, I wish I would have taken more pictures. I wish I would have taken more videos. But it's like, listen,
yeah,
we already did it. We did. That was a season. The season's over. It's time for a new season."
Mm-hmm. So I do want to go back to your point about mourning, because I verbalized this before, but I never met somebody who understood what I meant, like, for real, or maybe I just didn't verbalize it the right way. But I remember after having Zion, especially probably right after having Carolina, it got worse. And I would just kind of be like, just sad. And I would tell people, like, I never grieved not being a parent, like, you know,
yeah,
pre-parenthood. I never grieved, you know, any of that. And mm-hmm. so I would have moments where, especially like Dakota, he can go and play ball with his friends. He can go. It's just easier because he's not the default parent.
Yeah.
To be like, "Oh, by the way, at the end of the day, after a long day, I'm going to go play ball. I'll see you."
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like you said, I got to coordinate with my friends who are also parents, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're not parents, they're working. And I have my own schedule as a mom and a working mom and a wife. So, like, it was just that I never understood what it was. And then one day I was like, "Oh, I'm grieving."
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I could grieve something like that. And I also did the same thing with college. Like, I remember going back on campus and being like, "Oh my gosh, why am I crying right now?" And it was just that feeling of like, I never savored it as much as I wish I did before. And we took the kids to campus
mm-hmm.
once, and I cried because it was like, "Oh, my babies are where we, like, really kicked off our relationship. Like, yeah, yeah, we started dating in high school, but this is where things really began, and now my babies are here." And I was like, I would never change a thing. Like,
yeah,
ever. I'm happy where I'm at now. And I think that time that we did have the kids there and I took a picture of them and I cried, it was like the release.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I was mourning that person that was in college and that would be like, oh, let's hang out over here. Let's go to this place. Like, and I'm not that person anymore. And yeah. Now I have to let it go and release it and be happy, like, where I am.
And that takes time.
And be present.
That takes time.
It does. It took a lot of time. It took a lot more time than I expected. And although it's a feeling that was very uncomfortable, it's validating to know that someone else close to me knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And understands that feeling too.
Yeah, absolutely. And giving yourself grace is so important in parenthood and in life, but definitely yeah. in parenthood, because you're not always gonna know, right? Until
yeah.
it's like, oh, the moment passed and wow, that yeah. happened. And
I felt very guilty, like, why am I over here upset
exactly
over something? Like,
well,
this is my
guilt,
life now.
Yes, but yeah, and it's normal yeah. to feel guilty, because it's like, I never wished that they weren't here, right? I never wished that
right.
I would have done things differently or you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I used to be fun in a different way.
Yeah.
I used to be, and I always listen to the song. It's called "She Used to Be Mine" by Sarah Bareilles, I think.
Bareilles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that song, even though it's not about necessarily about motherhood, it hits me because, like, I used to be all these things, and now, you know, and I can tell stories, you know, I can tell my kids, like, oh yes, when I was younger, listen, I would just go on a whim, take a weekend trip, do whatever, like, it was just me. I can't do that no more. But it's, you know, there's a part of the song where she goes, like, she's gone, but she used to be mine, because you have to let that person go, because your kids deserve,
yeah.
you know, the best version of yourself. And
yeah.
a lot of the things, especially with me personally, a lot of the things that I did weren't necessarily, a lot of my choices and decisions when I was younger were questionable at best. And your kids deserve the best version of you, right?
yeah.
So I'm sure as the kids get older and they become teenagers, and we can talk more about, like, what life was before them, mm-hmm. you know, they'll probably be shocked. Like, what do you mean you used to take trips and know itinerary?
They'll be like, I don't know who this woman is.
Exactly. But, you know, and it'll be funny, obviously. But yeah, like, it's almost like, yeah, like, I miss her. Like, I miss, you know,
mm-hmm.
I miss that person sometimes, you know, not necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't wish my kids weren't here, but yeah, you do. And it's normal and it's natural, and it needs to be normalized in a way that doesn't sound like, oh, well, she regrets having kids or she regrets her kids.
Right.
It's
right.
not.
It's never regret for me. It's just, again, that feeling of like, okay, that's who I used to be, and now I need to release
yeah.
that and just be present for
yeah.
who I am now. Like, there's no regrets. I love my babies. I would not.
Yeah.
I would choose them every lifetime.
Period. Yeah. I feel the same way. Yeah. Like, they needed to be born, and I needed to be their mom. But they'll probably never know the person that I used to be. And for some of us, that's for the best, right?
right.
But I used to be very irresponsible, but but you still grieve, right? And like I said, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll look at Alex and I'm like, man, like, I used to be, like, wild and free and, like, so free spirited and so, like, you know. And then it's like, oh, man, does he? Obviously he likes me, we're still married, right? Like, but it and I know it sounds silly, but it gets to you sometimes, especially when you're in the trenches of, like, your body doesn't look how it used to look, and you're looking back at pictures and you're like, man, like, I thought I was fat then, you know?
Man, that feeling, oh my gosh. I could talk about that for a whole episode.
I know. It's right, but you know, you're not alone, and it's okay, and it's not about regretting your kids, because we don't. But I feel like that's also why I'm never going to be the kind of person that will look at somebody that says that they don't want to have children or chooses not to have children and try to like convince them otherwise. Like, that's never going to be me, because even though I don't regret my babies and I'm happy they're here and my life has a whole different meaning, it has purpose and all these beautiful, awesome things, this is hard. And once you have children, you're never going to be like, even they can pass, right? God forbid. But you're never going to go back to not being a mom.
Right, right.
Like, that's never... That's not your reality anymore.
Yeah, you're forever changed.
Exactly.
You're forever changed.
So I would never try to convince somebody like, oh, well, no, you'll change your mind. No, if you don't want kids, boo-boo. I respect that. I respect that because it's hard.
It's not my place.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's not my place. It's hard, and it's a labor of love, but it's sacrifice, right? And you have to be okay with letting parts of you go, right?
Yeah.
But getting your pink back is about, it's not necessarily about recovering all those bad habits and that you used to have when you were younger before kids and you were carefree and and all of the things.
It's about being you, your identity. Like this podcast was big for me, just to have something that's mine, that's my identity, that isn't, I mean, it's about the kids, but the kids aren't infiltrating it. My husband's not infiltrating it. This is something that, oh, this is my special project that I have going on. And now I can say, oh, not only am I a mom and a wife and a career woman, but I'm a podcaster. Okay.
Just having that outlet, that creative outlet, is important. A lot of us need that, whatever that looks like for you. Like, listen, I'm very into adult coloring. Judge me if you want, but like,
I want to do that.
It's relaxing. I kind of want to do that. And it's again, it's a little bit of like me taking my pink back. And when we say like save the day, that is kind of like taking your pink back, like saving the day because it's been so crappy or there's been a lot and you have to do something to reclaim it, to regain control, you know what I'm saying, of the day. So getting your pink back is kind of like regaining control of your life outside of the demands of parenthood, and we hope that you guys can do that in 2025 and or at least take steps towards that.
This is the catalyst. This is the jump start to, because maybe you haven't even thought about it. Maybe you're just like, man, I'm stuck. I don't know what's going on. And you haven't heard anything about this. And so.
Or maybe you're just you're just in a funk. You know, you don't know, like, you know, you're missing something, but you don't know what it is. Or maybe you're longing for a feeling that you don't really know how to explain. Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
And your feelings are valid. Because this shit is hard.
It is so hard, but
so worth it.
We are here for you, and yes, it's worth it. We're here for you. Again, if you have any questions or concerns, we will answer them as best as we can. But
we're your mom besties. You are not alone. We're here, and we're gonna get our pink back together. Okay, I know sometimes. I know sometimes it you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel and the sleepless nights and the all the things, but I promise you, we'll get there. You'll find your new normal, your new routine, and you'll have balance in your ecosystem again.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Welcome back again. Happy New Year. Stay safe. And we will be back soon.
See you guys later. Bye.
These endings are always so awkward.
I know, right? Like, I don't know what to say. Like,
bye.
Bye.